our evangelist tonight from down in South Alabama, from Greenville, Alabama, Brother Daryl Freeman. We're so glad to have Sister Freeman in the house with us and their family. In Jesus' name.
Why don't you give the Lord a good hand of praise? Hallelujah. I feel good tonight. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I feel good. Hallelujah. I could preach 100 things, but we might be here a while. Hallelujah. I'm looking across the auditorium tonight, and I see all kind of babies. I see natural babies. I see spiritual babies I've never seen before. Hallelujah, testifying to the good things of God. Sounds like something good is happening around here. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another good hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to be here from Greensville, Borough, Town, Burg. Where are we from? Hallelujah. It's good to be home. Hallelujah. It's good to be here tonight. It's a privilege. I want to say that it is a privilege, and to be asked to come and stand behind this pulpit in the absence of our pastor, and just an honor and a joy and a privilege to be here. Somebody said amen. Aren't you glad to be in the church? Aren't you glad to be in the church of the living God? Hallelujah. I told my wife, I said, or told somebody back here, I don't remember who it was, if it was her, somebody. I said, I get to preach to the new baby. It's first time in the house of the Lord, Brother Brody. And what a privilege. He'll remember me the rest of his life. You remember that preacher that came and I liked him. Hallelujah. But it's so good to be in Birmingham tonight. And we'll just preach. I got a long ways to drive tonight. So if you'll help me, we'll do what God wants to do. And we'll pray through somebody through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we'll go eat, and we'll go home. But now, if you don't help me, I could stand up here, you know, for a pretty good while. Well, I'm going to have some help tonight. Hallelujah. I love and appreciate this church. I tell you what, God is doing so many good things. Just the reports that I hear of what God is doing here in Birmingham. Let me tell you something. What God is... Give me a little bit of monitoring. Boy, sound like Brother Godwin. Hallelujah. I can't hear myself. Amen. There it is. Hallelujah. Where was I? God's doing some good stuff. And the good reports that I'm hearing of what God is doing at New Life. And what I was going to say is, as God pours it out here, He's going to pour it out in Greenville. Because we feel like we're just an extension of what God is doing right here. God is doing a work in His church. Hallelujah. I said, God is doing a work in His church. I'm just glad to be a part of it. We've got new Bible studies going on. We've got about 7 people right now in Bible study. And a lot of exciting things happening. Good things coming down the road. And we desire your prayer. Amen. Good to be here. If you've got your Bible, we'll get cranked up here. And we're going to read 3 scriptures, if I can tonight, if you'll let me. Esther chapter number 4 and verse 14. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. In Esther chapter 4, the story goes something like this. Esther is queen. She has been chosen in the place of Vashti, who refused to please the king. I want to please the king. Because if I don't please the king, I can be replaced. But she refused to please the king. Esther finds herself in the queen's chambers. She learns of a plot to kill the Jews. So she tells her cousin Mordecai about this particular scheme. And Mordecai says, there's only one thing to do. You need to go to the king. And you need to talk to him about it. Tell him what's going on. She said, I can't. You don't understand. You just can't walk in to the king uninvited. You have to be invited. And I could lose my life if he doesn't extend the scepter. So we pick up in verse 14, and this is what Mordecai told the servant to tell Esther. He said in verse 14, For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Somebody say, for such a time as this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And if you're there, say amen. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. The us here and the we in this scripture is talking about the apostles. The apostle Paul, having written this letter, he said, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Somebody say, even unto you. And then I want to go to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and read three verses here. The Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, somebody say every man, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I want to just try to tie all this together, if I can give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me. And we'll just see what God will do. Would you lift your hands and ask God to bless the word tonight? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, for your power. Lord, we ask you to touch each and every one here tonight. Move upon every soul, every heart, every individual, God. If somebody is here without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, fill them up, God, to overflowing before they leave this place tonight. We give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Raposo. See, y'all didn't think I knew. I'm moving up. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Don't you just love living for God? Hallelujah. God spoke to me a few weeks ago a profound word that I want to leave with you tonight. At least I thought it was profound. Anytime God speaks, it's profound. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Jerry, I was getting ready for Bible study. We were getting ready to go teach a brand new Bible study. And I was excited because there were going to be 6 brand new people in that Bible study. And as I was getting ready, pondering and thinking what I was going to talk about this first Bible study night, what I was going to bring out into the Word, brand new people, they've never had the Holy Ghost, they've never been baptized in Jesus' name. And as I was getting ready, God spoke these words to me. And He said, it is time to build a church in this city. And He said, I will do it. This church will not be built upon your talents. This church will not be built upon you. It will not be built upon how good you can preach and how good you can teach and how good you can do Bible study. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm listening. He said, I want to remind you that this church is my church. Somebody say, this is God's church. Hallelujah. He said, I want to remind you that this is my church and I will prosper it. But here was the clincher. Here was the next line that He gave me, Brother Cliff. It was as clear as I'm standing here today. He said, now the deal is this. The question is this. Are you going to be a part of what I'm going to do in this city? Are you going to be part of what I'm going to do in this city? Brother Tony, he said, because I'm getting ready to do something great and something mighty with or without you. You just happen to be the one that's on board right now. You just happen to be the one that's on target right now. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring it to pass. I tell you what, it was a scary thing because I had just gotten out of the shower and I was wet and the floor was wet. But I just began to dance before the Lord. I said, God, listen to me. I'm your man tonight. Don't do it without me. Don't leave me on the sideline. Hallelujah. I know this is your church. I know this is your city. And I know you're going to do it. Even if I quit, it's going to happen. Even if I stop, it's going to happen. But I said, God, I'm your man. I'm the one. You can count on me, God. I'm not going anywhere. This is what I'm going to do. This is who I am tonight. Hallelujah. Do you want to be involved in the things of God? Look at your neighbor and say, do you want to be involved in the things of God? It's up to you. Hallelujah. He said, I've designed it, I've planned it, I've laid it out, but I need a man. I need somebody to carry the torch. And when he told me that with or without you, Brother Warren, it's going to happen. You know, something clicked in my brain. God is going to have a church. God is going to have a people. God is going to have a work. God is going to do what He wants to do. But you know something? If we don't do it, God is able to raise up somebody else that will step up to the plate and say, yes, I'll do it. He can raise somebody else for the job. He can raise another man. He can raise another young person to do it. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I gave the only logical answer. I gave the only answer that I could. I said, Lord, let me pray about it. No, that is not what I said. I said, God, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Pour it out, God. Hallelujah. I don't even know what I'm doing, but pour it out. I don't know what's going to happen, but pour it out. I don't even know what's coming down the road, Brother Tony, but he's going to do it. He's going to pour it out. And I want to tell you tonight, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, upon this rock, somebody say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you something, you can sit out on God, you can sit out on the church, but the church is moving on. The church is going up. God's going to have a church regardless if it's got you in it or if it's got me in it. He's going to have a church. And he's going to have a people. Somebody that believes that, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you believe it, shout amen. The church is not dead. Amen. The church is not weak. Amen. The church is not in trouble. Amen. The church is not going down. Amen. But the church is going up. Amen. Do you believe it tonight? Clap your hands unto the Lord. The question is, will I be part? The question is, it's not always easy, but the question is, will I be part of what God is doing in his church? He's going to have a people. He's going to have a church. But am I going to be a part of it? Look at your neighbor and say, are you going to be a part of the church of God? Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not, because see, the Pharisees were thinking, you know, we're somebody. We've got a pedigree. We've been around a while. We know what's going on. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't think for a minute that you cannot be replaced. Don't think for a minute that I cannot be replaced. Hallelujah. Don't ever get it in your mind that you are God's gift to mankind. Because when you start thinking how good you are and how mighty you are, you need to be reminded that God used donkeys, and he used ordinary people, and he used ordinary things to carry across his will and his purpose. Somebody say amen. Romans chapter 12, we read it tonight. It said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to talk about such a time as this. We are living in a day that God needs everybody in the church to be on board. Hallelujah. If you want to see things happen in your family, in your job, in your school, in your community, you've got to be on board to the things of God. It's not a time to sit. It's not a time to stop. It's not a time to step back a little bit and kind of move back away from the center of what God is doing. If it's ever a time, we need to start moving up closer to the things of God, closer to the middle of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Where God is, I want to be there, and I want to be right in the middle of what he's doing. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Remember, it's going to happen. You've got to get what I'm saying tonight. I'm really going somewhere. It's going to happen whether you're a part of it or whether you're not a part of it. Hallelujah. Brother Tony, God's been doing some things around here. God's been doing some things. There's proof of it sitting in this room tonight. Those that have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, been delivered from sin. Amen. Let me tell you something. In the midst of everything that God is doing, in the midst of all the good things that God is doing, you can be left behind. You can be left to the sideline, not knowing what God is really doing. Amen. But let me tell you something tonight. I know this is simple, but whatever you do, put both feet into the things of God. Get involved into the things of God. Get involved in church. Get involved in prayer. Get involved in Bible study. Hallelujah. You have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On top of it all, not looking at all the things that are going to happen around you. Think of the reward that's coming in the end. No, you may not get your name on a billboard. You may not get your name up in light somewhere. You may not be able to be famous. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. When you reach down and you touch somebody and you pray for somebody and you do something, amen, in the kingdom of God, you are something mighty in God's kingdom. But on top of all of that, the reward is out of this world. The reward of extending yourself to the things of God. You may not see a reward like you want to see it in this life. But you expend yourself and you extend your life and you pour your heart into the things of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something tonight. The reward is great. Not only would you see those that are lost and undone and going to a devil's hell. Amen. Sister said it tonight. She was on her way to hell, but God reached down and picked her up. And you were there. God can do it again. But the reward is out of this world. Eternal life, a crystal river, streets of gold, a mansion, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more disappointment. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth every prayer that you pray, every Bible study that you teach, every church service that you go to, every time you lift your hands in prayer, every time you stand to your feet and you clap your hands and you leap for joy. It's worth it all tonight. You cannot outdo God. Most importantly, it's being able to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But there is an alternative, somewhat. And the alternative is this. And you fill in the blanks. Do nothing. Sit down. Stop. Give up. Don't try anymore. Give in. Allow unbelief and fear and doubt dictate your life. That brings a reward as well. And that reward, Brother Twan, is an eternity in darkness. Oh, God. That is an eternity without God, where the Word of God describes it like this, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But look at your neighbor and say, who wants to go there? I don't imagine nobody in this room wants to go to a place like that where there's darkness and there's no light and there's no peace. But that's the alternative to not extending yourself fully. And I'm preaching tonight. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm extending myself. I want to extend myself to the things of God. I want to put everything that I am and everything that I'm not, everything who I am, who I'm not, who I want to be, I want to put it all in Him. It's not this. A long time ago, I took away that option in my life. In fact, it's not even an option in my book anymore. I took it off the table a long time ago, Brother Warren. It's not, I'm going to make it or else. But the cliff, there is no or else. I simply said and made up my mind, I'm going to make it, period. No ifs and no buts about it. There's no alternative. There's nothing else to do. Come on now, folks. God's going to have a church. Are you going to get on board to the things that God wants to do? Hallelujah. There's no telling where God's going to take this thing. But if only she, or if he, or if they, or if my situation, but you don't know, I'm poor and decrepit and rejected and don't have no money and I'm sick and I'm whatever. You think of the fill in the blank there. But you don't know my failure. You don't know my problems, preacher. You don't understand. How can I put everything that I have into the things of God when I've got problems and I got failures and I got... Look at your neighbor and say, welcome to the kingdom of God. How many's never had a problem? Well, I'm glad nobody raised their hand. I was going to really work on you a little bit. How many's never had somebody talk about you? Never. No. People don't talk about you. People love you. I've never had anybody talk about me. I mean, really and truly. I mean, what can they say about me? I've tried to figure it out. I'm like, there's nothing. I didn't ask for no help over here. I'm preaching. You're supposed to say amen. All right. But come on, folks. This is the kingdom of God. This is a hospital. This is a place where folks come to get help. Amen. When you got sin in your life, you don't step off and move back and get off by yourself, but you walk into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Yes, there's failures. You could be seated. I'm really almost done. I'm on page 4. Sound like Paul Harvey. But what about failures? I'm talking about you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. That's what I'm talking about. There's something to do. There is something to do. I was listening to the radio the other day and to a talk show. I don't remember exactly where it came from. But the host made a statement and he said this about failure. He said, failure is not a person. Failure is an event. When you fail, that doesn't mean you're a failure. Failure is not your middle name. Now, if it is, I'm sorry. I'd get a new name. Jabez did. His name meant sorrow. He said, not me. I'm not going to be sorry. I'm going to rise above this. But he said, failure is not a person. It's an event. You may fail, but you're not a failure. When you get up and allow the Word of God to permeate your life, failure is defeated. But you have to get up. You can't stay there. I know life is hard. I know things happen. But you can't stay in that position. You have to proactively get up from where you are. And let me give you a little bit of history here that maybe you did or didn't know. How many's ever heard of the Wright brothers? You know, Orville, or whatever his name was. Orville and Wilbur. Right? Right. You know who they were. What'd they do? Airplane man, what'd they do? First manned flying a plane, right? Okay. But let me ask you this. These were two bicycle mechanics. They were unknown. They lacked formal education. And although they weren't leaders in aviation, they still managed hair. They still managed They still managed to power. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. They still managed to pioneer man's first motorized flight on December 17th, 1903. But let me ask you this. How many's ever heard of Samuel P. Langley? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody's heard of Samuel P. Langley? Well, let me tell you about Samuel P. Langley. He was a very distinguished individual. He was a professor of mathematics and astronomy. Already his credentials, pedigree. He was a director of the Smithsonian Institution. Langley was also a scientist and an inventor who in the mid-1890s performed several experiments with large unmanned airplane models, very successful in the pioneering of flight, this Mr. Langley was. Unmanned. He gained notable recognition for his accomplishments, so much that the U.S. War Department gave him $50,000, and in that time was a great sum of money. And commissioned him to design and build an airplane that would a man could sit in and fly. He had the credentials, he had the money, he had the knowledge, he had the smarts, he had the backing of the government. By 1901, he had successfully tested and created history's first heavier-than-air aircraft. Then in October 8th, 1903, 2 months, before the Wright brothers flew their plane. 2 months, on October 8th, 1903, on a modified houseboat in front of journalists and spectators and all the kind of important people, Langley, with the aid of a pilot by the name of Charles Manley, attempted to fly his plane called the Great Aerodrome. The crowd was there. The press was there. I'm sure the president was being filled in every moment of the hour. And when the launch was attempted, however, the biplane was flung 16 feet into 16 feet of water, only 50 feet from the boat. What a letdown. What a failure. Criticism, skeptics, cynics, it was brutal. In fact, the New York Times reported it this way. The ridiculous fiasco which attended the attempt at aerial navigation in the Langley flying machine was not unexpected. In other words, I knew it was going to fail. Has anybody ever said that about you? Has anybody ever said that about somebody that failed? Oh, I just knew it wasn't up to them to start with. And that's what they were saying. I knew he was going to fail. What ridiculous schemes is this guy going to come up with next? At first, Langley remained undaunted. 8 weeks later, in early December, early December, he and his pilot again prepared to make history with their second flight. Yet again, disaster struck, and this time the pilot nearly died. As before, the cynics and the skeptics fiercely attacked the great aerodrome, calling it Langley's folly, and accused him of wasting government funds. Langley succumbed to his critics and abandoned his project with a heavy-hearted speech. "I have brought to close a portion of work which seemed to be specifically mine. The demonstration of the practicality of mechanical flight for the next stage, which is the commercial and practical development of the idea, it is probable that the world may look to others." He gave up. He gave up a few short days before that famous day in 1903 of December 17th when the Wright brothers. Instead of throwing his hat into the ring and continuing on, Langley threw in the towel. He quit. He abandoned his pursuit of flight and walked away from his decade-long pursuit. Only a few days later, Orville and Wilbur Wright, uneducated, unknown, unfunded, flew their aircraft from the sand dunes of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And I want to tell you this tonight. You may think that you're a failure. You may think you've done as much as you can do. But let me tell you something. Victory is in sight. There is something coming down your dusty road. You may think the end is here. You may think that it's over. But if you stop now, if you quit now, if you give up now, you're so close. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had he only stuck with it, Brother Dustin, we may be reading about Langley's flight instead of the Wright brothers' flight. Who knows? Maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Maybe God has saved your soul. Maybe God has placed you in a church. Maybe God has given you talent. Maybe God has given you ability. But let me tell you something. Talent and ability will never replace the sincere desire to the things of God. Will never replace what God can do in his church with a heart, with an attitude that says, "I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm not throwing in the towel." Hallelujah. Maybe, just maybe, if I keep going, I might see my mom saved. Maybe if I keep going, I might see my dad saved. Maybe if I keep going, I might see my brother or my sister saved. Maybe if I keep going, if I keep praying, if I keep shouting, if I keep singing. Maybe, just maybe. Just maybe the next Sunday, maybe the next person that goes down in water in the name of Jesus will be them. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. It's not time to sit down on God. It's not time to sit down on the things of God, but it's time to get on board. Somebody say it's time to get on board. Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Musicians, would you come? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have everything I need, Brother John, when I've got Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if all hell is against me. It doesn't matter if the world is against me. It doesn't matter if my whole family is against me. God is on my side. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Learn all you can. Get all you can. Be all you can. Get the talent. Learn to sing and play and do and be. But in the midst of all of that, have a heart that says, maybe, just maybe, I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as God's going to do it. For such a time as God's going to do something. I want to be in the middle of it. Of what he's doing. If he's going to use somebody, He might as well use me. It's not easy. It's not easy, young person, always to be the leader. It's not always easy to be the one that steps out in front and says, you know, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to be something. But it's the greatest reward to step out and make up your mind. Yeah, let me tell you something. They're going to make fun of you. They did me. You're crazy. You're ignorant. You're stupid. Come on, have a good time with us. You got to go to church all the time. You got to do that Bible study down at that Smoothie Joe's all the time. What do you think people's going to say about you? You mean you go to church and you worship God and you get behind the preacher and you get behind the pastor and you say, yeah, I'm getting on board. Well, there should have been an amen right there, but yeah, that's what you do. Not always the easiest thing to do. But see, when you, I wish I had a chalkboard, but if you put on your chalkboard one side, heaven, eternity with God. And on the other side, you put hell. Well, just rip that side of the page and throw it away, because that's not even an option. The only thing that I can do is put my heart, my life. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't even have to be a singer. All you got to do is say, Lord, here I am. I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God's going to do it. It doesn't matter if you get on board or not. I know that's hard, but it's going to happen. This train is not stopping. It's not slowing down. What you need to do is you need to find a place to get on. Find a place to jump on. Find a place to grab hold of. And go wherever this train is going. Because it's going. It's going to go with or without you. It's going to go with or without me. But I want it to go with me, Brother Cliff. Let me read you something. Then I'm going to close. I really am going to close on this. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible said, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet crucified. He was talking about the Holy Ghost that was going to be poured out. But notice what he said. He said, if any man, somebody say any man. Paul said, even you. Our scripture we read, he said, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even you. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come. Paul said, even you, even you, even you, even you, even you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, even you. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Would you lift your hands and love him one time? Hallelujah. I'm putting everything I am. I'm putting everything I'm not. I'm putting everything that I want to be. You may have dreams and ambitions and desires. Don't let them die, because you may quit a few shy days short of your victory of seeing it come to pass. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this one last thing. You see, when God was looking for a king to replace Saul, The Bible told Samuel to go down to the house of Jesse and anoint a king. There's a king there waiting for you to anoint. And you know the story goes down, and he has all of his sons, Jesse's sons, come before him. And you know, the first one comes up, Eliab. He's like, man, in his mind, that's the king. Look how broad shoulders and tall, and look how good looking he is. Man, this has got to be your man, God. You remember what God told Samuel? He said, Samuel, don't look at this guy's stature. Don't look at this guy's ability. Don't look at this guy's good looks and his broad shoulders. He said, because man looks on the outside. But God looks on the inside. He got through looking at Jesse's boys. And God said, none of these are it. Surely you got another one, because God said the king was here. And you know how they say, oh, well, you know, we got old David out there in the... We got David out there in the field. Let me tell you what God told Samuel when he first told him that he was rejecting Saul of being king. He said, Samuel told Saul, he said, thy kingdom shall not continue because the Lord has sought. Somebody say, the Lord sought. The Lord sought. That word literally means he sought. He looked for. He tried to find. He sought, Brother Peter, a man after his own heart. He didn't look for a guy that had it all together. He didn't look for a guy that had a lot of talent, a lot of stamina about him. But he looked for a man that had his heart right. And it was because of David's attitude that we could go on and on when he wrote, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. And when he prayed the prayer that, you know, the famous prayer that he prayed of repentance. I think God is still seeking somebody today that he can call out to be his own. But you know, God is not the only one that's seeking. The enemy is also seeking. The Bible said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But here's the question. Are you going to get on board of what God is going to do? Esther, Brother Randy, put Esther 4 and 14 back up, and then we're going to sing. I want you to see what Mordecai told Esther. For thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from where? I've never really noticed that before, Brother Terry. But it said, Esther, if you don't go before the king, if you don't go into the king, Esther was afraid. Mordecai said, listen, Esther, if you don't go before the king, if you don't arise, if you hold your peace, God's going to send deliverance to the Jews anyway. Deliverance is coming anyway, whether you do it or not. But just maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Another translation of the Word of God put it this way. If you persist in staying silent at a time like this, help and deliverance will arrive for the Jews from another place. But you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows that you have been set up as queen for such a time as this? I want to tell you something tonight. if you don't do it and I don't do it, it's going to get done. It's going to get done. The question is, am I going to be a part of it? My answer is yes. Would you lift your hands and love him tonight? Sing, would you do it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. If God's going to do it anyway, he might as well use me. Because if I sit down on God, if I shut my mouth, the very rocks are going to cry out. And I don't want a rock taking my place. Hallelujah. But not only that, I don't want to lose my family in the process. The church is going to go on, but I may lose my family if I don't get on board. Oh, would you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Mighty God, is there somebody that'll say you can count on me, God? Hallelujah. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Hallelujah. Could we all just gather around the front tonight? Amen. If your family's with you, take your family by the hand and say, look, we're not sitting by the sideline. We're not stopping. We're not a failure. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. If God's going to do it, Brother Cliff, he's going to use you. He's going to use you. Hallelujah. Look at your wife or your husband or your brother, your sister, and tell him if God's going to use anybody, God's going to use you. Come on, if you don't have a family, adopt somebody. Find somebody to say, to tell them, look, we've come too far. Brand new babies in the kingdom of God. Don't stop. Amen. It doesn't matter the trouble. Doesn't matter the sorrow. Doesn't matter the problem. It gets better. You feel good? It gets better from here. Doesn't it, church? Does it get better? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm not giving up now.
I've come too far.
Well, glory, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know me.